Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this Friday, snowy Friday in Chicago. And what a market we've had this week. It's been quite the volatile week. And of course, we've had a number of things happening and with some of these volatility products, which just goes to show you, which I've said all along, those leveraged products are garbage, and they are there. I think that somebody eventually will go to jail for them. They somehow managed to get too many fees. So when you think you're not paying a fee, just go back, and the simple example is to look at what the VXX is, or FAS, or FAZ. If you go back to what their split adjusted value is, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars where the share price was back in those days. So again, if you're going to trade the ETF world, which there's nothing wrong with that, I suggest that you trade the ones that are one-to-one, that are directly representative of the certain asset class they're covering. And I suggest you make sure that you have the ability to trade futures instead. I don't think you get any benefit from trading these. I think you can get just as big a benefit, if not more, from using the futures themselves if you want to trade in these spaces. I don't see any benefit whatsoever of using the ETFs. You know, if you think about it from a straight trading standpoint, futures and, you know, like let's say the VXX or the S&P or the SPY, well, if you're trading it through the through a stock, your margin is much higher. You tie up capital, whereas if you trade through the futures, you're in, you're out, you're done, it's over. So, you know, again, I know we've seen a hell of a move in that VXX finally, but still, it'll be back to zero in no time, as it always is. But I think you've got, a lot of interesting things happening in the markets right now. And, of course, I continue to say in my mind, there's definitely an event going to happen. Just look at the chart. You can see something's getting ready to really give. And I continue to believe that it'll be the Federal Reserve. I think that they're losing control of the dollar, which is the biggest reason, because that is what artificially keeps rates lower. And the simple example is just this. Right now, if the euro is worth $1.25 to a dollar, basically, if you're borrowing money in the United States, you're paying a dollar for it. If you're borrowing money from the eurozone, you're paying 75 cents. So you're paying less, and that's why the dollar is such an important play right here. Now, I am from the opinion that the Fed has lost their mind and lost control, and I don't think they have control over the dollar anymore either, as the dollar is now pushed back over 90. So these are things that, if all of the valuations on all the companies are made off of the interest rate markets and everything else, which they are, I mean, again, that's, a company's value and profit is fairly easy to understand. Now, if they right now have, $1 million on loan that they're paying 3% for, and then they're going to pay 4 or 5% for that money, all of a sudden it changes the dynamics of what the company is. And that's, again, something that I think is, we don't talk about that, but that I think is a very important fact in the world of trading and in the world of investing, because the PE ratios are based on stupid metrics. Okay. And those stupid metrics are simple. I mean, if their money's going to be more expensive, then how can we not realize that their profit margin is going to go down? Very simple. All right. I mean, again, it's a simple math equation of where we are and where we stand. And if you don't understand that, then think about it and just use the logic behind that model. That if my costs have gone up, which if my borrowing costs go up, then my costs go up. Then it takes away from the ability to buy back more stock because now necessarily it's not a deal. You remember when you buy a stock, okay, you're buying it from the company. You know, it doesn't feel like that, but you're buying it from the company. And you know, the theory that I always subscribe to is when they were buying back a lot of stock, it was just a simple math equation. You know, if Intel pays a 4% dividend and I can borrow money at 3%, well, why would I want to borrow money from an investor? Okay. Why don't I buy the stock back myself? And I think that's something that, you know, we don't talk about and we don't think about, but that's the simple math of it all. All right. Is that, you know, so the reason they all bought their stocks back was just simply because it was a math model. I can buy stock instead of paying the dividend. So I'm paying, instead of paying the company out of the company money, the dividend to the customer or the investor, I can pay the same percentage rate or less and own the stock. So I have more control. So that is something those dynamics will change. And that's what I think is important to understand is as they change, all of a sudden, we're now, you know, the P.E. ratio, everything else all of a sudden changes when that happens. And that's something that I think you just have to understand from that standpoint is to, you know, where you go and what you're going to understand to do. So don't believe, you know, that things haven't changed. And that's where you figure out of, you know, how it's going to all play out for you. And that's why I believe, again, that the Fed will be the black swan event that shows up for just those reasons. Okay. And, you know, at the end, I want to, you know, I'm warning you, okay, that is what I would see. And again, it doesn't make that it's not going to be a problem, but you just have to make sure that you understand it so that in the big scheme of the world that you're in position to understand the exact model that we're seeing. Because again, things change subtly and nobody thinks about it, but that is indeed what's going to happen. The cost of money is going to be higher, so it's going to change what the companies are going to do, and it's going to change what their balance sheets are going to look like. You know, and again, don't let anybody else convince you of the BS that they want to spew to you. It's a very simple model. And of course, notice that these companies on their earnings, just the whole model is skewed and queered because of the way that we report things. Okay, we report things to get the best overall result to our bottom line. And just because they're getting the best total result to their bottom line doesn't mean that it's the best for us. And if we continue to listen to these boobs talk about everything else that's going on, then it doesn't make sense, and we're going to then be in the same position. So again, this is not a scare tactic or a warning. This is just saying, hey, remember that sometimes the dynamics are going to change based on what these companies are doing. All right. And I don't think their numbers are going to be as good as they were. And I think that things are going to, I mean, I think for a lot of reasons, but that's just another simple reason that has nothing to do with anything else. And I think that's the important thing to understand in general. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, we talk often about the high school investing program. And, you know, I'd love to help educate every young person in America, and of course we're trying to get there, and we're in 300 high schools right now and like to get to more, but for me to do that I need your help, and that would be if you'd go to patreon.com/Bubba Trading. Again, that's patreon.com/Bubba Trading. You want to make a donation, I'll give you a free week of my advisory service, but also you'd be helping out the youth of America. And in the meantime, don't forget to download not only the Bubba Show every day, but on the weekends, the Sporting Edge and Crypto X and Crypto Investor X. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Friday. It's a snowy Friday in Chicago. Big snowstorm, but what do I care? I got a truck. In fact, it's not my driving I'm worried about. It's the other mutts on the road that don't understand how to drive. But in the meantime, so here we have extremely volatile markets, and you know, not a surprise. I think that we're going to see some volatility. This is probably a little bit of an extreme, but we have seen, you know, movements now in both ways and up and down. And of course, there's going to be, you know, a vicious rip your face off rally again. This is again very significant in, you know, looking at what we would call market tops. You know, we're not predicting the top, but from a technical standpoint, the markets appear to be topping. And, you know, everybody wants to have a reason as to why. And how about the reason is just the markets are tired. It's time to go down. Actually, some people actually realize that maybe they want to take some profit off the table. You know, we've talked about this many times. It's funny about things we talk about, and then months later, they start talking about them on TV. It's like maybe they're listening to the Bubba Show. But, you know, the fixed income people, the elderly, the retirees that have been forced into the market, which we've talked about at nauseam over time, they don't want to be in the market. Okay. Now, they've been in, and they've been in right. They've done well, but they do not want to be in this market. Okay. And not because there's anything wrong with the market, but most people of that ilk don't want to be in because, listen, they've got X amount of dollars that they've saved, and they simply want to get, they just want to make their money back and be able to live the same kind of life they lived before they retired. And the whole thing comes down to is the overall ability to, you know, make, you know, again, we've used the example before, but if you make $500,000, if you've saved $500,000 and you can make 5%, you know, that's $25,000 a year plus your Social Security, your pension, that should probably keep you in the same lifestyle that you lived before. And of course, then you don't have to draw down on principal. Because what's the number one fear that people have when they retire? Is, am I going to run out of money? And am I going to live too long to run out of money? So that's a problem. And that's why the other reasons that we'll see the markets sell off is simply because if interest rates get higher, then they're going to be they're going to take that money and put it into the bank, right? I mean, most people would prefer to have a CD or being in the market anyways. So, you know, especially if you're towards the end, you don't have the time for the market to recover. You know, again, we're big fans of the stock market, you know, in general as an investment. And again, I don't sell. I mean, I short the market in the short term. So that could be a problem that we're seeing. And of course, you know, the dollar is going to create some issues if it continues to get stronger. But it didn't have a big effect on some things. It's, right now it's having some effect on others, on some and not on others. Now, you know, this is right now you've got everybody saying this is just another great buying opportunity. And you know that it could be, right? I'm not saying that it's not a great buying opportunity. You know, one thing that you'll get from me, you'll never get that there's only one way the market can go. Okay, the market can obviously always go two ways. The market can always do what it does. So what I'm saying to you, though, is it's very simply that the probability right now favors the market to fall. And again, we're never full-time bulls or full-time bears. We're long-term bulls in history, okay? Why? Because long-term, the market has proven over 150 years that it goes up 8% year over year. So why? What else would I need to know from there? That's what happens. So you and me should remember that. So that's the long-term view. But the short-term view is, you know, we've gone up 100%. I mean, you know, basically we've gone up from the bottom, 300%. So at some point, that has to be taken care of. Now again, you know, it's something that, you have to be very careful with, because everybody wants to tell you what to do with your money, and they don't care about what the fees you have to pay. And this goes back to what we talked about in the first segment, that those some of those ETFs, you know, their fees are exorbitant. You know, so we can think about it. You know, they say they're no fee ETFs, but there really are fees, the hidden fees. Now, I think that, you know, again, if you see something that you really like, I would not be afraid to buy it today at any price. If I like it and it matches up to what I want to do, I'm not going to worry about the overall markets that I believe are going to have a major meltdown. I mean, I do believe that you could see a 30 to 40% hickey or haircut, whatever you want to call it, you know, in the next, you know, year. But I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm not going to tell you the world is going to come to an end. All I'm going to tell you is that markets are, you know, extremely extended. They're extremely overbought. And, you know, you're going to see these vicious little run rallies. But at the end, what you're going to see is a market that, you know, will do what it does usually, and it'll find a reason to collapse. And this is, again, this ties back into the Federal Reserve as well, which is just simply, you know, they refused to do the right thing for months or for years, which was raise interest rates. And if they would have raised, we'd be in a much better state right now. We may not be having this conversation. We might have already bottomed out, or we might have been in a position not to go up so fast and so ridiculous and not have everybody in a you know, one asset class. So you might have seen something else, you know, change. So that's the stuff that we look at. And of course, you know, are we going to see any drastic changes? Well, you know, the markets themselves are, you know, very self taken care of. They know what to do, because what pushes the market is the buyers and sellers that participate. All right. And that, I think, is always something that we seem to forget, that free markets understand how to price themselves. Asset classes like to price themselves. And, you know, I think that when it's all said and done, you know, I think you have to just pay attention to what's in play. And what's in play now is, can we go higher? We certainly could go higher. But would I be putting, you know, if you were going to say over the next 2 years, okay, you know, would you risk your life on either buying the market or selling the market? Well, I'd probably have to say to selling it. And that's just because I think we're extremely overvalued. I would say that, you know, if we can go up, we can go up another couple percentage points. But if we go down, they could crack them. And I could see a pretty big significant haircut in the market. So, you know, and that doesn't, and so far, you know, if you remember, we have ignored any bit of bad news. Okay, we've ignored every possible thing that could go wrong. And, you know, that's been the news flow. Now, if you remember last week, I said to you, excuse me, that jobs number, although was a good number, was not good for the equity market, because it was going to indicate to traders that the Fed was going to probably raise. And higher rates would then mean that the markets might sell off a little bit. And, of course, that's similar to what we've seen. And I think that's going to be a continuation because, you know, I believe the Fed has totally lost not only their minds but control of the markets. And I think that, you know, we're going to see some carnage here as we continue to try to unwind out of this. And not unwind out of the balance sheet, but kind of have an understanding of what the markets are actually going to do and how they're going to react. And of course, this goes back to the fixed income and the whole deal. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, interest rates higher gives me a better chance. And if the interest rates get above the yield of the stock market, then certainly you're going to see money go to what we call safer asset classes. So just keep that in mind as you listen to me here at the Bubba Show. And of course, you know, every day after the markets close, I do an update, and I do a 30-minute TV podcast on the weekends. You can get that for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and sign up for the little box that comes out. And of course, you know, we've got LibertyTalk.fm, which is my station, where you can download the Bubba Show every day. and the Sporting Edge, and Crystal, I can't get my name right, Crypto Investor X, which is a new podcast we're doing, and you can download those at libertytalk.fm every single day. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show from snowy Chicago, and we'll be back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz, we're coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Welcome back, Cotter. Where's Horshack? So, you know, we've got so many things that are so screwed up, and you know, you're having some bloodbaths out there right now, and you know, you've got the energy, okay, is down about 15% from the highs in January, and of course, as you know, I believe that oil was going to the toilet anyway, so that should not be a total surprise, but it looked like it was going to continue to go up. But certainly, you know, there's a lot of carnage out there. You know, the basic materials down 10.5% since the highs in the beginning of the year. Utilities, which is a shock, but not necessarily a shock, but it's interesting because you would have thought some money would have gone there. But utilities down 16%. You know, and, I mean, just look at these numbers. You're talking about, you know, you're right. You go from a possible sell-off to correction to maybe a bear market in some of these. Technology down 10%. The industrials down 10%. Healthcare down 12%. Real estate down 12%. Financials down 10%. S&P 500 down 10%. So if you think about it, okay. Now, again, it doesn't mean the world is over, and I don't want you to take that this is the world is over. It's just a simple mathematical fact. These are just the numbers. And I think if you took the time to go back and look at a chart from, you know, any major market meltdown, you would see the same thing. Euphoria ends up with tears. You know, every pundit wants to, you know, bang your ears off about, well, the what's the story? The Bitcoin is a disaster, and it's a bubble, and it's crooked. And in the meantime, you know, did not the stock market go down that much at one point in time in the history? And again, I'm not telling you that it's a great fundamental basis or you should be jumping in and buying it. All I'm saying is that, hey, we can look at it from any standpoint we want. There is not it's no bigger bubble than the stock market is. Okay, that's a fact. So, you know, the carnage is going to continue, and you'll see some rotation, but there is nowhere to hide here. All right, if we are correct, if our thesis is correct, okay, then there's nowhere to hide. And I think this is something that you have to just, you know, understand. Is that there is nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. The markets are going to be the markets, and they're going to do what they've always done. But remember, every time that the masses get so bullish, you know, you had big speeches in 29, you had big speeches in 87, you had big speeches in 2001, and you had big speeches in 2008. Now you're getting the same big speeches about how good everything is. Now, again, it looks to me that the economy is improving. Okay. I mean, again, you can't really necessarily prove it for me, but, you know, you can say that it's possibly. Right? So, but at the end of it, markets are well priced in. And what do you know happens for sure? If we've priced in one thing, okay, and something else happens, then all of a sudden the dynamics once again change. Okay, this is, you know, it's the same example I use all the time. You know, I get a restaurant, everybody tells me how great this restaurant is. And by the time I get there, I'm so hyped up. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going back. And same happens in the markets. They're so hyped up, and everybody's so used to the easy free money, the easy money we're able to take out of it, that there's a problem there. All right. So, you know, you as either an investor or as a trader, you have to understand where you are in the cycle. And as you know, I say this often, if you're an investor, then you should just turn the damn TV off. Don't listen. All right. Because all you're going to find is disappointment, because they're going to continue to try to pound it up and tell you how good everything is. And I'm going to just tell you that, hey, the markets are due for a little bit of a sell-off. You know, we just can't go straight up. So don't get yourself, involved. And notice, and I think this is important, you know, if we look at gold right now, the markets have been through some pretty good carnage that we've just noted, okay? And in the meantime, while the markets are in carnage for the last, you know, since the beginning of the year, we'll just say we're down, you know, X amount of dollars from in a number of things. And then if we take a look at gold from the beginning of the year, and where are we in the gold market? And actually since the beginning of the year, okay, well, the market is getting clobbered. You know, gold is up nothing. In fact, in the period that we're talking about right now, gold is about flat. Now, one would think that gold should be exploding to the upside, would you not? And of course, it's not. So if gold is not popping the upside, well, does that mean that there's something wrong with the market, something wrong with gold? And I think that tells us that gold is not ready to move more to the upside. Markets are they'll pretty much tell you, you know, if you remember from the movie Trading Places, that's not right. How can they be going down? Well, because at some point in time, there's no more buyers. That's how it can go down, when sellers are going to come and take some profit. Remember, the markets are always driven on the same thing of human emotion. And in the computer programs, the algos that these jerks keep complaining about, which, you know, I don't understand why nobody talked about the algos when the markets are going straight up. You know, I guess the algos only kick in when the market's down, right? The computers only know how to trade the short side. I mean, you know, it's kind of stupid, right? But in the meantime, the algorithms are written by emotion, right? They're written by the views of somebody who's written that algorithm that, you know, looking for a certain thing, trying to take an edge. And I always find that a little bit amusing as well. But in the meantime, you know, certain things start to happen. And I can give you example after example. We can talk about, you know, the grain markets, okay? You know, 6 weeks ago, you know, the grain markets were in trouble. And, you know, in trouble as far as the grain market is going to be. But, you know, they were down, and they were testing the lows. And everybody's going, well, the commercials are getting short, and I got to get short myself, and we're going to go way down. And I go, well, okay. And, of course, they've done nothing but rally. You know, you had oil that was up and going up, and everybody's going, oh, oil's going to the moon. Okay. It's going to 70. It's going to 80. It's going to 100. Well, all of a sudden, now it's back down and giving up all its gains for the year. So what I'm saying is that certain markets will, you know, get to a certain point, and when they should be going up or they should be going down, depending on which market it is, you know, and you can base it on the information that you have. What happens is it has reached its peak, and it is telling you that it can't go any farther in that direction. And that's really more about, you know, we talk about the market footprint. You know, because the charts, the markets leave a solid footprint. Okay, now, they're not always right, but they give you a pretty good idea of what the market's thinking, because the market is really based up of millions of random investors that are buying and selling. And that will tell you where it's at. And that's, again, what you need to look at from that standpoint is that, you know, what is the market telling you? What is the market message? What is it dictating to me? And when you get to that point and you understand all that, you go, oh, okay, now that makes sense. So when you see a stock or a commodity or anything that's just going straight up, straight up, straight up, and all of a sudden it kind of stops, and you go, oh, why isn't it going up anymore? What happened? And you can start to see that it's starting to change a little bit. That's a pretty good opportunity to maybe take a sell. The same to the downside. Now, it's always easier to gamble to, when the market's, if to be a buyer. The best gambles are the ones when you're trying to be a buyer. Because as we know, and we've talked about, the markets go up, obviously, again, we said earlier, but 8% year over year. So it's a lot easier to step in and be able to hang in when you're buying than when you're shorting. Because when you're shorting, you know, if you're short, and let's say you're short the S&P, okay, and you sold the S&P at, you know, the other day at, let's say, 2,600. Well, it did go to over 2,700. So, you know, how much pressure can you take? Because you don't know when it can stop. We know that if we buy, it can only go to zero, right? You know, there's always that fear of the unknown of when it's going to get a stop. You know, I used to tell the story about how many of these internet stocks I was short in the 90s. And almost went broke because I couldn't take the pressure. You know, I couldn't take the equity hit, but the pressure of them going up every day, did put me in a bad position because I was outright short stock because I knew they were all garbage, which it turned out that I was right. Of course, I couldn't be right because I didn't have enough to hang in there with it. And that's something, again, that's important. When markets start to do things that are illogical, usually that's a sign that they're getting ready to reverse. But, you know, you got to let them do their thing while they're doing it and not try to second guess it and change the dynamics. You know, there's a lot of interesting things about trading. And the most interesting thing is from a trading standpoint, you have to know nothing about the company, the future. All you need to know is that it has to be a liquid market. That's all you should care about. Okay. So in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course we talk about it daily, my high school investing program. We've been doing this for 7 years, and I have financed it all myself for that time and have decided to reach out and ask for some help. And anybody who would like to help donate, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And anybody who does, I will give you one free week of my advisory, my futures advisory service. Certainly would love to have you aboard. In the meantime, don't forget to download the Bubba Show and Crypto Investor X and the Sporting Edge at libertytalk.fm, the Bubba Show every day, and Crypto and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, this snowy Friday in Chicago. Yesterday we had the USDA, that wonderful organization, another bunch of mutts that have no idea of what's going on around them. And of course, they had the report on grains, and they look pretty neutral, pretty mundane. Markets are pretty subdued, but they had all rallied pretty well into it. But again, I think when you look at the grain space, I think it's going to be a big year for grains. I think you've seen the bottoms in corn and in wheat. Soybeans, not so sure. You know, it's amazing. Soybeans, if you look at a chart, they can't get away from that 985 level. It's amazing. It goes up above it, goes down below it, and always kind of reverts back to like a magnet. It will break one way or the other, but I think that you got to look at those markets and think that, you know, I think it's a great investment, okay, to be a buyer, to be in corn and in wheat. I don't see a lot of downside where I could see a tremendous amount of upside. I think the cattle markets are overvalued a little bit, and they started to break a little bit on Thursday. But I think that they're pretty much overvalued. And I think hogs have become now, I think, a great value play. I think that now you've got, you know, a spot to step in with not a lot of great amount of risk. And so I'm a big believer that this is the time to potentially step in here. So basically, a quick synopsis of what I am seeing in the grains and in livestock. right now I'd buy, I'd be a buyer of corn and wheat on any pullback. I would be neutral on soybeans until they can prove to me which way they want to go off of this 985 level. And I'd be a seller of fats and feeders. I'd be a seller of feeders right here, you know, in the one, the 148, 149 level. And I'd be seller of fats, but really, I really want to buy both. I just think that they're a little bit valued. In fact, I might even just say, hey, no need to take a trade here. Just look for 144 in the fats, 121, 122 in the fats and 144 in the feeders. And April hogs, I'm a buyer here. Just under 70. I think they've got a lot of room to the upside. But I think it's going to be a really good year for the commodities, and everybody's worried about the dollar because they, you know, the dollar is very correlated and used to be, the big deciding factor with these, you know, weaker dollar meant higher commodity prices. Okay. It hasn't been that way recently, and as you've noticed, the overall movement has been, you know, counter the dollar. You know, dollars was down at ridiculous lows, and all of a sudden the dollar is starting to rally, and so are the grains. And they did not benefit. You know, none of the dollar-denominated products really had a great benefit from the weaker dollar. So I think that's something that you have to remember and to keep in mind. That this goes back to, you know, the correlation of assets. Yes, there is some correlation. Okay. However, is the correlation, forever? No, that's not exactly, is the answer. The correlation works until it doesn't work anymore. Is there a relationship between the dollar and commodities? Of course, because they're dollar denominated. But, you know, now with all of this Fed manipulation and all this currency manipulation, you see that everybody's kind of become immune to what's going on, because the dollar, you know, the dollar was at lows, 5-year lows, and yet oil, gold, and everything else was selling off. Okay, and so to me, I tell you that, you know, again, forget about all the correlations, everything that we think about, because they eventually will work themselves out. And they'll eventually tell you that, you know, maybe everybody knew that the dollar was a joke and they'd already priced in a stronger dollar, which is, I actually believe that the grain markets and those markets have already priced in a stronger dollar. So the dollar will not affect them here. And it may help them, as a matter of fact. Okay. So, you know, again, let's not get, you know, carried away as to, you know, what is what, but more importantly, let's realize that our ability for a big rally is in play. Okay. And that's what I think when you're looking at the commodities. I think commodities are a great play that many of us are too afraid to get involved in, but at the end of the day, they're just as good a play as anything else. And they're no different than stocks. Okay. And that's something that I think, we have to be focused on when we look forward. And, you know, so what's the forecast going ahead? Well, I mean, I think the forecast is choppy markets, wild markets. I think big volatility. I think we're headed lower. I think we look for the big rip your face off rallies. I think you look for all kinds of things that can happen. But at the end of the day, I think you want to be a seller of these rip-your-facers. I think that that's pretty evident in my mind, that these big rallies are going to be met with some big sellers. I think all this volatility is showing us is that there's going to be most likely some big heavy selling coming in. And then again, you know, you can try to pick the bottoms. And I mean, you know, for the trade, I mean, certainly there's going to be levels that you can look at for a potential trade. And if we do, then you're going to find yourself putting yourself in some fairly good positions because it gives you the potential to benefit. Excuse me. Sorry about that. It gives you the benefit and the potential to capitalize on all of these different types of move. But just remember to have a plan. Okay. You know, don't just walk in there and start clicking buttons. Have a plan on how you want to attack the market, whether you're a buyer or a seller. Okay, have a plan of what you're trying to do. And again, you need to, you know, follow the market footprint. And if you have a plan, don't deviate from the plan. The bottom line is if your plan, you have assigned levels to do things, then those should be the levels, all right? And they don't change that often, you know, but unfortunately, our opinion changes a little bit too often. And I warn everybody to keep your opinions and your emotions in check. They have no place in the stock market, okay? Opinions and emotions have no place in the markets. They will only cost you money if you become too opinionated as to what's going to happen in the markets. Again, it's a simple mathematical fact that the markets follow the footprint based on the math behind it usually, and that fear, greed, and human emotion destroy markets because the people end up destroying themselves. So my shout out and my warning to all of you as we get into what I think is going to be around for a while, an extremely volatile time in markets, I put this out to you, is to keep your emotions in check. Follow the market footprint. Do not try to be smarter than the market, because nobody is. And to have a trading plan based on what your objectives are and stick to the plan. Don't try to outsmart yourself, because you will. I know some of the smartest people in the world that have outsmarted themselves on more than one occasion. And again, our opinions get in the way along with our emotions. And of course, that's never good. But what is good is that this is Friday and this is the Bubba Show. And I want to wish you all to have a very nice weekend. I hope you have a great time. You know, I hope everything's good. And of course, we're in a snowstorm. But in the meantime, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is free for you. And all you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, and a little box will pop up, fill it out. And every day after the close, I will send you a little video, and it is free. So certainly I want to make sure you get that. And of course, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. And on the weekends, you can download the Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Ortz, thank you so much. Everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.